time is running out. What is it, Gavin? Just hours now. When is this all officially over?
You got until 8 p.m. tonight.
8 p.m. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Whatcom Family Farmers Education Fundraising Auction. Well, there's an official name for it. Growing Our Future.
Growing Our Future Together.
And it's an online auction. That is the that's the new trend in the world of the Rona, is to have the auctions online. Well, we've never had an auction before, period, as a fundraiser for Whatcom Family Farmers, but we are this year. We're starting on the off year with the online thing. It's actually working pretty dang well, if you ask me.
I mean, the big thing is it's just so much easier for people to participate from anywhere. You don't even need to get out of bed and get dressed. You can just stay right where you are in your pajamas.
Is this the moment where you're
grab your phone?
I know what you're doing here. You're going with that old, you feel like, here I'm on the radio this morning and I have to imagine everyone in their underwear to be able to be calm. Isn't that the old speech advice that they give you in speech class or whatever?
I mean, that's not what I'm going for at all. No, I'm imagining has the blankets pulled all the way up to their chin.
Thank you. I've always thought that was the stupidest thing. Like, just get up there. I still hate giving speeches after saying how many stupid things on the radio for so many years. If I have to get up in front of a bunch of people and their eyeballs are burrowing into my skull, I can't handle it. I still can't give speeches in person. If you've seen me give a speech, you know, I'm all over the place because I get so distracted.
When you're on the radio, you can't see them rolling their eyes at you.
Exactly. So. You just look at the wall. It's what I'm used to growing up driving tractor, you know, pretending I'm a radio host, you know, giving my monologue. Nobody's looking at me. That's why the whole radio thing worked great for me. They put me in a studio. They said, well, it feels kind of weird. There's no one to look at. I'm like, great. That's what I'm used to. But anyway, I digress. The whole online auction thing has gone pretty darn well. But I will say, there are some smoking deals to be had. Just as a word to the wise, people know about fundraising auctions, right? And we talked about this, a couple of weeks ago, just before the whole thing launched. We were still looking for people to, you know, fill out some of the, you know, donated items.
Yep.
And that's how, you know, fundraising auctions go. People who want to support our cause donate the things that they already have or can get or whatever they want to do. And then we sell them to you and you buy them. And, you know, in some cases, you know, you could say, well, I'm going to spend X amount of money on this anyway. Why don't I buy it on the auction? Even if it's, 48 yards of pit run?
Still available.
Who's that, from Cadman?
Yep.
Good folks at Cadman. 48 yards of pit run.
4 dump truck loads.
Normally people would say, what? But this is a farming show, so it makes more sense.
Yep.
And construction, definitely. You know, so maybe there's somebody out there who is going to buy 48 yards of pit run anyway. Why wouldn't you do it this way? And we benefit with our nonprofit here doing educational work in our community about the farming community. It makes sense. The other thing that you can do with an auction is you can get a really good deal sometimes.
And there are some really smoking good deals right now.
And also, there's another thing you can do, which is find out what your neighbor is bidding on, or your buddy, or somebody you want to give a really hard time, and bid them way up. You know, we fully endorse that.
Oh, absolutely.
Here. Yep. If there's somebody out there that you know really wants that Traeger grill, or what's that thing called, the Montana Ranch deal? I don't have it in front of me. From Whatcom Manufacturing. That's what I want.
That is pretty slick. It's a adjustable grill, goes over open flame, 30 inches wide, 4 by 4 feet.
What's it called? It's a Montana Ranch?
They call it the Montana Ranch Grill. It's got a chain pulley system. You can raise it up and lower it down over top of your fire.
So if somebody you know really wants one of these things, then get on there and keep bidding them up, right? Because there's some people who, if they really want the item and they have the money to spend, you know, they might spend double, triple what you might expect, because it's still a donation anyway. and maybe somebody is going to donate a chunk of money. You know, and we have so many generous supporters for What Can Family. By the way, did I mention yet this is the farming show? Did I say that, Gavin?
You're slacking.
This is the farming show on KGMI. Welcome to the program on a Saturday morning. I'm Dylan Onkoop with Whatcom Family Farmers and Safe Family Farming. Whatcom Family Farmers Outreach Director Gavin Willis is with us this morning as well, talking about our growing our future online auction that wraps up at 8 p.m. tonight. So this serves as your last notice. Today is the last day of bidding, and we expect things to get pretty interesting this afternoon.
I'm going to be following along the last hour or so. I think I know the big ticket items. If you bid in the last couple of minutes, it's automatically going to extend and go into overtime bidding.
Oh, really?
So we'll see some of that happen. I'm anticipating that. I think it's a good time to remind people, if you haven't seen the auction yet, you're not quite sure how to find it, where to find it, easiest way to do that, just go to whatcomfamilyfarmers.org.
I guess that would have been a smart thing for me to mention beginning.
whatcomfamilyfarmers.org, and on the navigation bar on the top there, go to the events page. And the first link there, you'll see Growing Our Future Together online auction, April 6 to 10. Click that story and that'll take you to all the details where you can create your account, get started with your online bidding. Make sure you get those items before bidding closes at 8 p.m. tonight.
Now, one thing that I'm disappointed with, I was looking at some of the items on there yesterday to see where are these bids at. You know, I was surprised, and I haven't looked at the numbers this morning, but yesterday, one of the deals that I would jump on if I was going to, and I might, is the beef. There are several different sides of beef, quarters, halves, that have been donated to this auction.
Yep. Some Angus cross.
And just a little word to the wise. Again, cross. I don't know if things changed last night when I wasn't paying attention or early this morning, but when I was checking yesterday afternoon, there were some really good deals on beef.
You really
Is it bad
you
to just, say that? Am I allowed to say that?
You just made the cardinal mistake of someone who wants to bid on something. Is you're telling everyone else about it.
Well, yes. I mean, I want it, but I also want somebody else to you know, bid up a ridiculous sum on it, because, you know, that helps support my podcast. It helps support our real food or our real environmental action and leadership campaign. It helps support Whatcom Farm Circle.
And I think it's a great time to let people know, too, that when you're at the auction, you're bidding on items. There's also options there for you to donate to those programs. And those donations help make all those programs possible. Farm Circle, our third grade program, and we have an online version that we created. The real video series that you mentioned that shares the stories of local farms or farms across the state, actually, being leaders in environmental protection. And, of course, the Real Food, Real People podcast, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with.
Yeah, and I haven't even talked about my podcast. By the way, that, you know, if you're just catching this, you like Gavin said, you probably heard me talk about it, but if you haven't, I host a podcast called Real Food, Real People. You can find it online, realfoodrealpeople.org. Or even better, find us and follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. I think that covers all the channels for now, but we'll, you know, whatever Zuckerberg and friends in Silicon Valley invent next, and we'll probably try to jump on some other ones too. I don't know. Snapchat, what do you think?
I think you're too old for some of those social media platforms.
I think I am, but, you know, I might have to give it a go. This is the Farming Show. Dylan Honkoop here with Whatcom Family Farmers, along with Gavin Willis, talking about our auction that wraps up tonight. Online auction, so anybody anywhere technically can take part, right, Gavin? Well, I guess you got to be able to pick something up. If it's, you know, like your 48 yards of pit run, it's probably
there's limited delivery on some of those items. Yeah,
you don't have to
some of the items. Hey, I mean, if we've got a bidder across the country somewhere and they're willing to pay the shipping costs, we'll send it wherever they want it to go.
All right, that sounds good. Now These are, when you purchase something on this online auction, that's a donation, essentially, right, to the nonprofit organization that we work for.
Auction rules are a little bit kind of funky the way that works, because you're getting something in return for your donation. Right. So it's not technically a tax deductible donation.
Got it.
Unless your bid ends up being for more than the value of the item, in which case the difference is deductible when you do your taxes.
Oh, so more reason to bid it up?
Absolutely.
You can write it, bid it way up and then write it off.
It's a win-win-win, yeah.
And then I'm thinking about all these people out there that need to be bidding on this. And again, WatkinFamilyFarmers.org. Is there anything on the front page for it, or you got to click that events tab?
I think you got to click that events tab.
Okay, go to WatkinFamilyFarmers.org, click on the events tab. People have been asking some questions about how this works, right? You get in there, and you basically got to sign up as a bidder to be able to do that, right?
Yep, so you sign up and you request your account. It's pretty much all automated. So you do that, it sends you a little confirmation email. You click the link in the confirmation email, enter your last couple of details, and you're good to start. And then you just need to enter credit card information when you place your first bid.
Now I remembered what I was going to say earlier. I was looking at all these bids, and I was a little disappointed because it lists who's bidding, who the high bidder is. But there's a whole bunch of them that are anonymous.
Well, and I'm anonymous when I'm bidding, and that's because I know there's people out, like you out there that are looking for my name.
Exactly. Just so you can outbid me. Go through every single item to find. Yeah.
But
that's what I wanted to do. And there are a few names in there. There are a few people who had the guts to put their name on their bid. But I guess that's a note to you. If you don't want anybody to know, you don't have to. You could be anonymous 109 or whatever the system assigns you. So no one would know. Or you can have the guts to put your name on it. And that way your neighbor can see it and say, we're going to make it a little bit more challenging for them to win that, you know, fill in the blank. What's something else on the list here? Just to give a smack. There's a bunch of, we talked about beef. There's some really good deals on crab. 25 pounds of frozen crab pieces. Well, there's like 4 or 5 cases of that on there.
Yeah. Maybe, really good maybe deals. Someone wants an excavator for a week. We've got a 1 week equipment rental from Skolten's Equipment.
And they got a lot of different equipment there too. I mean, excavator will probably be pretty high on a lot of people's lists, but there's other things, you know, trailers, different things like that. Skolten's Equipment, thanks to them for donating that. There's some other experience things too, like a day in the life of a dairy farmer and cheesemaker with Twin Brook Creamery and Twin Sisters Creamery here locally.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you want a private tour of a local farm, that's a great option. You can do the same thing at Raider Farms. Tour the raspberry processing facilities, check out the field and take a ride on the harvester and see how that whole system works. We got a private wine tasting for 6 at Samson Estates Winery.
Awesome. Probably have to be 21 for that one.
We've got a few items that are 21 plus.
Yeah. Just you children out there thinking about bidding on that one. We aren't going to allow that.
And we've got some artwork. We've got lots of great food options. I'm scrolling through on my phone right now while we're talking. I see Pie for a Year by Bellwood Farms.
Ooh, pie for Bellwood Farms pie for an entire
certificate year. For one pie a month. So every month you get to go in there, pick out a pie.
Hey, we should mention the custom oil painting as well, donated by the boss man himself of Save Family Farming, Gerald Barron.
You've had him on the show
many times. He's the executive director of Save Family Farming, and many people don't know his original degree in college back in the day was in art, and he loves to paint. He's an excellent painter, and he can create a custom painting for you, especially, you know, this is kind of a farming thing. If you want to go with that theme, he can memorialize your farm by having him paint a custom oil painting of it. Be an heirloom in your family for generations to come. Bid on that one. That's a unique guy. You can't just go buy that anywhere. So there's some pretty cool stuff on this list. Again, go to WatkinFamilyFarmers.org. Go to the events tab, and you'll see the link there to the Growing Our Future fundraiser auction for Watkin Family Farmers Education. Again, tonight at 8 p.m. is the deadline. Now, explain, Gavin Willis is with us. I'm Dylan Honkoop here on The Farming Show with Watkin Family Farmers. Explain the overtime bidding. How's that going to work tonight? Explain how this really goes down.
So basically, since the auction cuts off at 8 p.m., we know with some of the bigger ticket items, there's going to be a lot of interest. There's going to be people watching, trying to time their bids.
Yep.
And so if you place a bid in the last, I don't know the numbers exactly, but I think if you place a bid in the last 2 minutes before it expires, it'll add an extra 5 minutes onto the timer. So that's especially helpful for the folks who are out. If you're out in a rural area and maybe your internet isn't the quickest.
Good point. Yep, good point.
You don't have to worry about someone coming in with their gigabit fiber internet snatching out with the last second bid.
Well, those are the people who already get all the concert tickets and the playoff tickets and all that kind of, you know, camping sites, for crying out loud. They're the ones that can refresh the pages faster than anybody, right?
So we're leveling the playing field here.
Isn't there also like this automatic bidding feature too? For people who want to like set a limit and
So you can, that way you don't need to keep going back and bid all day. You can just set, hey, this is my max I'm willing to bid, and then it sets a low bid initially, and anytime someone tries to bid above you, the system will automatically keep bumping your bid up to your limit. Yep.
I think that's only a good idea if you put you don't put a limit on it. I think you should just have the guts to say, I'm going to win this bid, whatever it costs. Or you should just have the guts to make that maximum bid right from the get-go, don't you think?
I mean, that's one way to do it. Maybe you'll scare everyone else off, and then you don't have to worry about the competition. And for folks who enjoy the bidding, getting in those bidding wars, I know that's kind of fun. It's exciting. We also have text notifications. You can set that up. So if you want to make sure, if you want to hop on there and set a bid right now, you can turn on text notifications. So anytime someone outbids you on that item or whatever items you're bid on, you'll get a little notification via text message that you've been outbid, and a little link where you can hop right back in.
Awesome. And get that this is really gone high tech from the old paddles back in the day, the old school fundraiser live auctions in person. All right. Well, here we go. We have just a smidge over 12 hours to go.
Yep.
Word to the wise. If you haven't connected with this, plenty of time, still get in there. Look at all the items. Place your bids. If you have already bid, you better check on it. Stay on top of it, especially if you haven't set up some of those automatic features. If you haven't gotten the text messages or set the automatic bidder, you better go check and make sure to get involved. We really appreciate it here at Watkin Family Farmers with the educational work that we do. This kind of support is invaluable to sharing what's really going on with farming in our community, what farms really look like, and as we talk about so many times on this show and elsewhere, it's so important, we think, to our food system and our entire community here. So again, it's the Growing Our Future online auction, just over 12 hours to go until the 8 p.m. cutoff tonight. I'm Dylan Honkoop with Watkin Family Farmers. Gavin Willis has been with us this morning to fill us in on all the he's the more techie guy, straight-laced. He keeps things in line. And thank you for making sure I didn't screw this up and misrepresent anything. That's the primary reason why we bring him along, to kind of smack us around and keep everybody in line around the office. Thanks.
Glad to do it.
Thanks for being here this morning. So are some farmers different? You know, depending on the crop they grow, should they not be allowed on farmland because they grow the wrong crop? I know it's a leading question, but it's something that Whatcom County is tackling right now, on moratorium on a certain kind of farming. Marijuana farming, that is. And then, people say, well, maybe that's different. Well, is it, and what should the rules be? The Whatcom County Council responding to people complaining about marijuana grow-ups and at least outdoor marijuana farming, saying, you know, smell, light pollution, things like that. What should the rules be? Welcome back to the Farming Show on your Saturday morning. Dylan Honkoop here on KGMI. And joining me right now on the phone this morning, Ben Ellenboss, Whatcom County Councilman and local farmer as well, also with the Whatcom Farm Bureau. Welcome to the program, Ben, and talk about how did this whole thing get started? How did this all come up? Because from the way I understand it, when, you know, pot became legal and the state started through the Liquor and Cannabis Board now regulating the growing and producing and processing and selling of marijuana, the county said, okay, this is a farmland, this is a farm enterprise, this can happen on ag land, right?
Yeah, it's sort of an interesting thing, Dylan, because, you know, in my mind, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. And, you know, growing a plant, to me, should fall into that agricultural category. If you talk to a pot farmer, I think as they call themselves, if you talk to a pot farmer, they're going to have the same issues that a farmer has. They're going to have, they classify themselves as farmers. But what happened was when the state made it legal, they made it clear that the state wasn't classifying it as agriculture. However, I think most people in the industry would like to be considered farmers. Myself as a farmer and someone who represents farmers, whether it's on the council or Farm Bureau or whatever I got going on, I consider it farming. And so, you know, with the state not considering it farming, it kind of throws a monkey wrench into things. But like you were saying, light pollution, smell, those are the things that people are complaining about. And this came about a month ago, or 2 months ago, I started getting emails about this permit that was going to be issued out on Mount Baker Highway. And, well, it just snowballed from there, and here we've got a moratorium.
So that was the deal. Somebody wanted to, they needed to get a permit to put in a marijuana farm outdoor thing?
Well, what they were looking for was they wanted to expand something that was already there. And I think the neighbors had some concern that maybe they weren't following the existing regulation. And so they requested a thorough review, but what we got was something a little beyond a thorough review.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like it. And just to roll back here a little bit, and by the way, this is the Farming Show, Dylan Honkoop here on KGMI. We're talking with Whatcom County Councilman Ben Ellenboss, who's also a farmer here in the county. You know, a lot of people might say, well, oh, you know, marijuana, pot, you know, that's a different ball game. And I understand there are some different elements here, but what we're talking about, like you said, is growing a plant. Now, I'm not a big pot person. I don't use the stuff. I'm not really into it. I had mixed feelings, when it was legalized, honestly. Even though part of me, you know, as I've said many times on the air over the years, part of me has that libertarian streak that's like, hey, you know, it may not be for me, but if somebody else wants to go for it, go for it. You know, who am I to stand in the way of something that's, you know, not harming anyone else other, you know, differently than anything else that's going on out there. So if somebody's farming, they're growing this plant, now, I guess I don't know a ton about it. So is there something different about what they're doing when they're growing a plant rather than, you know, if you have corn or grass or raspberries or spuds or blue, what's different about it? And they're talking about light pollution, because I would imagine, you know, we're talking about kind of greenhouse stuff as well.
Yeah. You know, I've got a neighbor down the road who grows it in a, in just your average everyday hoop house. And from the road, you wouldn't know that it's marijuana, but it is. And, you know, I graze my cattle right next to that field, and I'm there probably every day in the summer, and I can't recall a time I've even smelt it. But, you know, I'm kind of like you, Dylan. I've never touched the stuff, but I did go to Huxley College of the Environment, so I've seen it and been around it a fair amount. My take was always that it didn't... I'd rather be around a stone person than a drunk person. So that was kind of my take. Far as obnoxious is concerned. And so I too take the libertarian stance. But you know, with this particular issue, what frustrated me about it, well, I was the sole council member that voted against the moratorium. And the reason I voted against it was because it just provides uncertainty to the producers that are producing already and anyone that wants to come into the fold. In Whatcom County, we've got a history of temporary, meaning, I don't know, almost a decade now for certain moratoriums.
Yep.
And I guess, you know, where do you stop?
Yeah.
Where do we stop if we're going to do a moratorium because there's neighbors that are, you know, I understand that you can probably smell this stuff, but is it a nuisance? You know what I mean? There's a difference between, I mean, from a long ways off from a dairy farm, you can smell the dairy farm. But is it a nuisance? Well,
and that's what I was just going to say. That's a good point, though, about the continuing moratoriums. Boy, Whatcom County sure has a love affair with moratoriums, and it in often cases it ends up amounting to governing by fiat, really, in some ways. We're just going to make this decision, and that's the way it is because it's an emergency or an interim or whatever. You know, so I think the moratorium that you're referring to lasting so long, I was covering that when I was a brand new reporter out of college. Now here I am, darn near 15 years later, and it's you know, some of that stuff is still out there, and they keep kicking the can down the road. But beyond that, what you were saying about other farming, and this is where I think all of the farming community needs to pay attention to what's happening with this issue right now, because again, people can say, oh well, it's marijuana, oh maybe it's different, maybe. And okay, is marijuana that big of a deal here? Well, it's economically significant, whether you believe that or not, it is. And what does this mean for the rest of farming? Because dairy farming makes a smell. You know, there's plenty of greenhouses in this county not growing pot. They're growing poinsettias or whatever. You know,
should
tomatoes or what? Should that not be? Suddenly you can't have a greenhouse. And, well, can you have a big greenhouse or just a small greenhouse? Well, how many hobby farmers, people just wanting to grow food in their backyard, have a greenhouse that maybe have some grow lights in them? So this gets to be a slippery slope in a big hurry.
Where does it stop? That's my concern. You know, that, like, it's akin to these no shooting zones that Simeon was trying to put in place. You know, they complain about noise or maybe a safety aspect, but their complaint as a resident out there is the same as anyone in the county could have that same complaint. So where do we stop? Do we put a no shooting zone in Simeon because they got a $1 million home, or are we going to start doing it out in the county? And if we're going to do moratoriums on growing marijuana because of a smell or a light that you don't like, where are we going to stop? Are we going to start regulating the dairy farmers in the same manner? Or are we going to start regulating the folks that are growing geraniums in the same manner? What happened was the planning department came to the council with it, and they wanted to hit the easy button, and they wanted to do a little, you know, virtue signaling, and, well, we're going to put a stop to this because, you know, sometimes marijuana production has a negative connotation to it. And so I think it was a victim of perception through the moratorium down instead of using the existing laws that are on the books to rectify a few bad actors.
Well, and that's, I think that perception is the key here. Because it's perceived as it's the new kid on the block. It's kind of sketchy. Some people still aren't okay with it, don't think the state should have even legalized it. They don't think it should be around. You know, people kind of are suspicious of the whole deal. It's the butt of jokes. And so it makes it easy to say, oh, yeah, well, we're going to restrict them. Imagine if it was something else, I think it would be a different story. But it does, I think, send a chilling effect across the agricultural community. I feel bad for these folks, but in some ways, it's kind of like, now you're... I hate to say this, but in some ways, these folks growing marijuana are getting a little taste this way of the same kind of thing that other farming enterprises have been dealing with off and on for a long time, with right to farm issues in particular, and other things where suddenly somebody in government knows better, and they're going to go in and basically make or break your livelihood. And that's what's so scary to me about this. They can just make a decision like that when I'm not seeing the rationale here, and maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, I was actually, Dylan, I was really interesting to see that when we were talking about this on council that we didn't have farmers showing up and saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, our industry may be next, so maybe we should band together and help advocate for the marijuana growers. And I think in the future you're gonna see that. I think
I would say
marijuana growers and traditional farmers come together because we have, you know, the same goals and the same issues and the same problems.
Well, and I'd say probably at this point it's because a lot of people didn't know about it. You know, it hadn't come up on my radar screen right away, and that's why I wanted to talk about it here on the program, because I think it bears discussion. Let's have it out. You know, is this the direction we want to go or not? You know, the complaints, and you saw them directly. I'm just hearing about them second and third hand. But the complaints were what? Yeah, not only about noise and smell and light, but there were, you know, people going on and on about different kinds of pollution. They were saying, you know, environmental damage, all these things. We need to save our county from this environmental destruction that these folks pose. It's like, well, okay, I certainly hope there's regulations that they're following, and there are for farming. They shouldn't be breaking those rules, definitely, but that's already stuff that's already on the books, and that's stuff that any farmer should be following. If they're breaking those rules, then let's enforce that. But where does this whole thing come from? This isn't even in the same realm as that.
Yeah, it's concerning. I think it kind of shows the direction of governance here in this county that's where we went with this in a really quick manner, and it's quite frustrating, and it should concern everyone, regardless of how you feel about marijuana.
Ben Ellenboss, Whatcom County Council member, with us on the Farming Show this morning here on KGMI. I'm Dylan Honkoop. Ben, how's the cattle doing? I mean, you've been known for some time now as Farmer Ben, and you're still cranking out local beef, aren't you?
Yep. Well, our spring calving cows are calving right now, and I got to say it's a healthy calf crop. I'm very pleased.
Well, that's good. What are the issues here locally with beef these days? I know people have been talking about slaughterhouse stuff again. The pressure is on in that realm real hard with COVID and all the supply chain stuff and people focusing more on local food than they have. And now it's really, really tough even to get, you know, your butchering done because everything's so backed up. And I think even at the state level, they've been talking about trying to do something to help out.
Well, I think that, as has always been the issue, and what brought me into the political realm in the first place is getting my product to market, and that's the slaughterhouse issue. I think COVID did a very good job of highlighting the weaknesses in our current food system, because I think everyone can remember ration on a pack of hamburger. And, you know, smaller, more local food systems could have made sure that didn't happen quite so severely. And so I'm always an advocate for local food production. And if I wasn't so busy fighting moratoriums, I might have more time to bring forward some helpful solutions for some local food infrastructure here in Whatcom County.
I think there's questions at the county level, certainly, and that would be your realm of influence. I think there are issues that need to be dealt with at the state level in Olympia. But, you know, I had a good sit-down chat with your fellow cattleman, Brandon Brink, back, just to pick his brain. We were talking about something else, and then I just said, okay, you got to explain to me how this all works. And we talked through a bunch of the rules, state, federal, this bill that's been kicked around. I think it's kind of been reinvigorated. Maybe it's dead again this year. I haven't even followed it this session, but it was, I think,
the Prime Act.
Yeah, it came around last time, and some people are pretty, you know, excited about that. But he said, look, you know, really until the federal rules change for USDA certification, you know, we really won't be able to move the dial too much towards being able to cut and wrap stuff locally and sell it piece by piece, which is the way a lot of consumers want it.
Yeah, part of the problem is that the processors that are processing now, you know, there's something like five companies that do 85% of the beef and poultry and, you know, pork in the country, and they've had really good lobbyists to keep make sure that the regulations keep the little guys from competing with them, and you know, it'd be nice if our state would stand up and say, hey, federal guys, we got a better way, and we're gonna like they did with legalization of marijuana. But
yeah, true.
Will is there. We'd like to see them say, look, we can produce food safely on a small scale, and so we don't think we need to follow your.
Well, the thing with the rules is it's done in the name of food safety, right? But is that really the true issue here?
No, it's not. It's a political game, and it's a big business versus small business.
Yeah. It's a shame, but, you know, I think momentum is building, albeit slowly, but I think momentum is building to put some pressure on this and finally see the change that local producers and local eaters, for crying out loud. I don't produce beef, but I want to eat local beef, but I can't always, you know, buy a whole, you know, side of beef. I want to be able to go to the store and buy it, and the rules that are preventing that just really frustrate me. So I hope this changes soon. Ben Ellenboss, Whatcom County Councilman, with us on the Farming Show this morning. Ben, take care. We appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dylan. It's always nice to talk with you.